the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with yet another weekly look at the world of non-league. We're back in FA Vars mode this week as we hit round two of the cup competition that gives Step 5 and Step 6 clubs a chance of playing in that Wembley final. Villanets is on hand wearing his at FA Vars Fact File hat to give some insight into the big stories set to break with his stats and facts on those taking part this weekend. Before we talk to last year's winning manager, Gary Flynn, he's still at Newport Pagnell Town and hoping to get his side's defence of the crown off to a winning start this weekend. We also talk to another manager of a United Counties League side. Lewis Thorogood is the manager at Pinchbeck United. They diced with relegation last season and he admits they were lucky, but they're using that opportunity to spur themselves on and see an FA Vars run as a perfect chance to do so. Rounding all up is John Couch from the Non-League paper. The FA Cup grabs the headlines this week, with the FA Vars and National League claiming plenty of column inches too in this weekend's paper. Plenty to listen to, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So this weekend we do have the second round proper of the FA Vars, and of course there is only one man that we could go to for all the knowledge, all the insight, all the facts, all the stats. It is a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Mr. Phil Annett at FA Vars Fact File this week. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Yes, always good to come and talk to you about the FA Vars. It's a great little competition that is one of our favourites that we hope to have some fantastic results over the weekend. Lots of records could be broken for individual clubs, so it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, we always love the fact that the, you know, there's records to be broken, history be made, but it does seem that this round we've got almost every game. I think if you're there, you can say you were part of history.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, actually. This second round, obviously, we've got all the final exemptions coming. Mm. So all those clubs that are still in Step 5 and 6 who made it beyond the fourth round or fourth round and beyond last season. But I think there's 58 of the clubs, so almost half of the clubs in the draw that have a chance of equaling or setting their best run in the competition. So something extra to go for over and above just trying to win the game.
Yeah, and this round, as you mentioned, we have the 103 clubs who won through from the first round last time round, and then a smattering of new clubs who get their exemption to this stage. I think it's based on all those who reached the fourth round or later last term that are obviously still playing at this level. So 25 clubs coming in to sort of make up the numbers, including Newport Pagnell Town.
Yeah, so last year's winners are competing again, looking to defend the trophy. It's quite unusual this day and age because often the winners of the Vars do very well in the league and get themselves up into Step 4 and into the trophy. So for Newport Pagnell, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. Do they try and defend this trophy at maybe, you know, risk of affecting the league form, or do they say, we've done the Vars now and we'll just go for promotion as best we can? I think there's only four clubs in the competition's history have managed to retain the trophy, and the last time was more than 10 or so years ago. So it will be interesting to see how they take it on.
Yeah, and it does seem, I was looking at those clubs actually to see who have sort of been able to retain it, you know, win back to back. We've obviously got Whitley Bay with their, I think they did it three times in a row, didn't they?
Yeah,
but,
they did.
But the other clubs have sort of gone on and made names for themselves at the higher level. So Billericay Town, Tiverton Town, House Owen Town all did the back to back wins. But as you say, I think with the shake up of the competition and the shake up of the pyramid, it's going to become, or it has become more and more unlikely. But as you say, the focus for most clubs is that promotion. We speak to clubs, where, you know, every round in both the trophy and the Vars, and as much as they love the competition, they love the magic that comes with it, promotion is normally at the top of their agenda.
Well, it's true of all cup competitions seemingly nowadays. You know, but we've only got a few former winners in the competition who've tasted good, and I'm sure aside from Newport Pagnell, most of them won't have many people still involved with the club who were there last time. So, you know, that does mean that we've got a good chance of different clubs experiencing the Wembley FA Vase final in this time around, which is a norm for this competition, that we always get at least one club there that's not been there before. And it's looking the same, perhaps, this time around, with so few of them still standing.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the facts you put us all onto a few years back, that the FA Vase every season has had at least one of the finalists being a club appearing in that match for the first ever time. So, there are, I think, five other former winners other than Newport Pagnell that's still involved in the competition. I love the fact as well that you were able to pull out one other club as well as those winners that have made the final. I don't know whether they want to be reminded of that, but of the 128 clubs, there's only one other club still standing in the competition that's been to the final but not won it before. Do you want to let people in on that detail?
Well, that is Tunbridge Wells. Obviously, they had a great day at the final when they got there, and they'd be keen to do it again. But it is interesting that they are the only ones that the 128 that made the final in the past, but were unfortunately not on the winning side. And they travelled to Larkfield and New Hythe Wanderers, who are one of the many clubs who are appearing sort of in the second round for the first time ever. So complete disparity in past Vase performances.
Yeah, and we've got plenty of clubs as well appearing in the competition for the first time ever as well. When you get to go around and sort of go to different clubs as the season progresses and as the competition progresses, is there still the magic for those, particularly for those new clubs that are competing in the competition for the first time?
I think there is. Every time, everywhere I go, there's a determination to do well in the Vase, because I think there's a recognition from all the clubs that there's no reason why they couldn't be the one that gets to the final this year. So it's almost an open tournament. Of course, we know there's a few favourites out there, and step five should be better than step six, but there's no reason why anyone's still standing. It hasn't got as much chance to get to the final as the rest, and those experiencing for the first time would love to get that taste of a Wembley final, something most of these clubs won't have had experience of. So I think the Vase is very special for clubs, whether they're brand new in the competition or whether they've been involved ever since the first one back in 1974-75 season.
Yeah, and I'm sure you would have watched the FA Cup coverage on Monday evening of Bracknell Town against Ipswich, and the managers there at Bracknell, obviously Carl Withers and Jay McClurg, old friends of the show, but I think their experience, I think that they'd admit as well, their experience of going to the Vase final with Binfield and not getting the result that they wanted, but having that experience at Wembley final probably put them in really good stead for being able to come across so well in their interviews around the FA Cup coverage for that Bracknell game.
Well, you have to win a lot of games to be the winners of the Vase. It's no mean feat. It's even from this second round, you've still got another 8 games in total to win. Mm. So it's quite an experience that you can, you chalk it up over time, and then when you're in a different competition, then you know what the feeling's like to play in cup ties. And then if you got to the final, you obviously know what big games are like. So, yeah, it does put them in great stead to be able to represent themselves and the clubs well whenever they come in front of the media.
Yeah, and talking about representing themselves, where I always love the revenge for past defeat. It's always one of my favourite stats to look at. And we had Cribbs FC on the show last round, and they've duly progressed to face Thornbury Town this time around. They also met in this competition, was it 3 years ago, I think?
Yeah, they beat them 3-1. So it's Thornbury Town will be looking to try and avenge that defeat. I don't know how much it plays on the minds of the teams, whether they, if it's like last season, it might sort of be there. But for some of these teams, if I don't mention it, they probably don't remember it. So it's one I raise, and hopefully it can add a little extra spice to the game when the two teams meet on the pitch.
Well, that's one of the extra reasons why we love you, Phil, because you're about the only person that probably would be able to prompt us into remembering that sort of information. Talking a bit, do you have a favourite stat of this round?
Well, I think talking about revenge victory zone, you've got Highgate United who travelled to Tilliedale. A win for Highgate would equal their best run, but up against Tilliedale, who they've faced twice before in the competition, and unfortunately on both occasions they've lost 4-1. So they'll be keen to try and avenge that those two defeats. And bizarrely, that is the most common tie around, so it's the only tie of the 64 tie where it involves teams that have met twice before in the competition.
Again, only you could tell us that, Phil. Only you with your finger on the pulse, the man with his with the knowledge. I look at the fixture list, all the ties for this weekend, and it really is a festival of football. The FA VAR second round this time around. There's games on Friday evening, games on Saturday lunchtime, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon. If you love your non-league football, it's a great weekend to get out there. It even looks like the weather might be slightly better than it was earlier on in the week.
Yeah, so you have if you're really determined, you could get 3-4 games across the VARs across the whole weekend with that offering on there. The majority are still taking place at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And I'll be at one of those games down at Wallingford and Cromarsh to see them take on Little Common, and knowing that the winner of that game will progress to the third round in their current guise for the first time. So I'm looking forward to enjoying that game.
And again, if anybody, you can find, we'll tell you how to find Phil's previews in a minute, or you can look up at the FA VAR's fixtures this weekend. There is Some of the names of the clubs are just shows the wonders of non-league football. We've already mentioned a few there. Again, I must try and get the guys on from Mousel on at some point as well this season. They were having a great season, rebuilding the club down there. But Mousel and Hartbury University, you wouldn't get that in any other country. That sort of name fixture, would you?
No, it's a very unusual name, I guess. But I guess for the clubs themselves, they're quite ordinary as far as they're concerned. Yeah, it's just us who look from afar that find them a bit quirky. It is a whole host of different named clubs representing the whole of the country at a level of football, which is on the up, I think, in terms of quality and in terms of appeal. And it should result in some fantastic games and ongoing in the competition all the way through to the final.
Yeah, so hopefully this weekend we'll bring a few more non-league fans in to come and watch the FA VARs round two. But another way of attracting people into the magic of the competition is obviously to read your full stat pack and information about the FA VARs as well as the FA Cup. Where can people find out more and follow you and get all the latest stats then, Phil?
Well, they can follow me on Twitter. It's the best place to get introduced to what I do is at FA VARs Fact File. From there, you'll get a link through to my blog, and in the latest blog, the preview of the second round. I think I cover off 90 of the 128 clubs that are involved in the round. So there's a good chance that the team you support will be in there in terms of an interesting piece of information about them.
Brilliant stuff. Well, thanks again for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, Phil. We look forward to following you and finding out all the stats and facts on the back of the results of the second round proper. But have a great weekend. Enjoy the game that you're off to down at Wallingford. And we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, Tim. Good to talk to you again.
So this weekend then we do have the FA VARs round two, and as Phil Lynette mentioned earlier, it's the round where the last exemptions come in, which means that we've got last year's winners coming into the competition. So there was only one place to go, one man to speak to. It's off to Newport Pagnell Town, the current VARs holders, and it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Mr. Gary Flynn. Welcome back, Gary.
Hi, yeah, how are we doing? You okay?
I'm good. FA VARs then, winners at Wembley. I haven't yet seen you on a panel show. Never mind the Buzzcocks not been in contact, Wembley winner?
No, not just yet, no. just still just in Newport.
And how's this season been going? You get that that accolade that no one can ever take you away, and then you've ended up concentrating on other competitions, and then coming into the FA Vars. What are we middle of November? It seems I know that our calendars and FA Vars calendars in particular in recent years have been all over the shop. But does it seem strange coming into the competition at this round?
Yeah, it was a little bit. I think obviously the club weren't too pleased either, really, because you do lose out a little bit of finances as long as you're winning the games. But, it's nice to come in a little bit so we can see who's doing well in the competition from the start, and hopefully we can carry on from last year.
Yeah, and we spoke to Phil Annette earlier that there have been clubs that have won successive FA Varses in the past. Whitley Bain did it three times on the trot. Is that in your reckoning? Do you think about that, or is it just like, let's get this game out of the way this weekend?
It's not something we've spoken about just yet. We've got a big month in our league, but it's a cup competition that obviously we think we can do well in. It's good for the football club finances and stuff as well, for getting through the rounds. But we'll just do a few more rounds before we even start thinking about if we could do it again or not.
You are sort of one of those sides. We've got ties with various kickoffs over this weekend. We've got ties on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the competition. And you're effectively one of the last ties to kick off. An away tie at Baldock Town Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. How does that affect your preparations?
Yeah, I mean it's not ideal, but it shouldn't be a problem as long as the players are responsible on a Saturday night, which we ask them to be on a Friday night. So. They've just got to do it for an extra day, so I'm sure they can manage that. It knocks a little bit of rhythm out of you, but it shouldn't be really a problem. It's just it's another game of football on the weekend.
And where does that leave you on Saturday afternoon? Are you off to a game, or are you having lads in to train? Or?
We will do both. Actually, we're going to train. We're going to do a little bit of a training in the morning, just to make sure everyone is. Looking after themselves properly, nothing too heavy, but yeah, we will get them into train, and then I will probably get myself off to a game in the afternoon, have a look at, see who we've got coming up and see who's sort of a bit local for us that we can go and have a nose at.
What have you been able to do your usual scouting on Baldock and get yourself prepared for that?
Yeah, I mean Baldock is not too far from us, so we know sort of a little bit about them anyway. We've not long come from the South Mids, although we're in the UCL now. So quite a few of their players are recognised to us. Good football club. They've started okay in their league, but, they're a particularly sort of side of mid-table side at the moment. But, we know we've got to perform to our abilities. Otherwise, what looks like a cup upset, but you don't know just yet. But because we are down as a favourite, so I suppose it would be. So we've got to make sure that we're prepared and everything's done properly.
Yeah, and you mentioned the league and the tough games coming up. It is such a tough league to play in, isn't it, United Counties?
Yeah, really tough league, always is. There's some good money, good non-league clubs there. It's probably a good 7-8 football clubs, I would say, that at the start of the season would have had a good eye on finishing in the top two of the division. So, and that's sort of panned itself out a little bit so far. So we're in amongst that, but we still got a little bit more improving to do.
And you found, obviously, last season, go on a great cup run in the FA Vars can have an impact on your season in the league. Have you got that in the back of your mind? You able to expand your squad slightly more this season?
Yeah, we've spoken a bit about that. We said that, the journey that you can go on in the Vars is something you don't want to take away from the football club or the players mainly. But we've got to be able to make sure that we can do both consistently. But they will certainly be both of them will be our priority within the league and the cup. So we think we'll be a stronger outfit from you know, from taking the experience from last season and making sure that our league form doesn't dip like it did from last season.
So if your cards on the table, is promotion still the number one that you'd like to get, or try and do everything together and go on a run in the FA Vars as well?
I'll be greedy and say both. But yeah, I mean, look, promotion's always tough at step five because there's only one that sort of automatically goes up. So you can get into a playoff as well in the second place. You know, we don't have the playoffs like once you get to step four and beyond. So it is a really difficult to try and win promotion at step five. So it would be lots of clubs, you know, think they would be in with a chance, like we think that we can be. But if an FA Vars comes along as well, a little run in that, we certainly would say no.
And one question I've asked Dave Anderson of this show many a times, and he's not got his organised yet. But have you had a replica of the FA Vars, mate, that sits on your shelf at home?
For me personally,
yeah. Or do we need to start knocking these out somewhere?
Yeah, that would be good. No, I haven't got one of them. No, I think I did have it for one day from the football club, but that was about it. So yeah, I've had it for the day. It stayed at mine for one of the celebration nights. I think I was the last one to leave, so I ended up taking it home. But no, I haven't got a replica made up just yet. I'm not sure if that does happen, but I'm not sure when it's got to go back. But hopefully the football club gets something sorted out that's just a little shine, you know, something to remember us that, you know, how well we've done in the competition.
Yeah, and you did do fantastically well. It was a great day at Wembley. And I know we've got a few trophy manufacturers that listen into the show. So, you know, get in touch. Let's see what we can do. You know, Gary's got some great memories.
Nice. But yeah,
there's a whole marketplace to be had. Well, look, Gary, I'm sure you've probably got training or something or a team organising to do. So it's been great to get you back on the non-league
Thursday night,
show.
Training night, yeah.
Best of luck at the weekend. Hopefully we'll be talking to you again further on in the season, and thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Yeah, brilliant, great job you guys. Yeah, brilliant, thanks a lot.
So let's chat to another manager taking his club into FA Vars action this weekend. Let's head north and a Sporting in Lincolnshire. A Friday night game under the lights at the Sir Halley Stewart ground. To tell us more, let's offer a non-league football show welcome to manager at Pinchbeck United, Mr. Lewis Thorogood. Welcome, Lewis.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to get you on. We've just spoken to a manager preparing for a Sunday afternoon tie. Friday night kickoff, does that have the impact on availability for players to you? Is it Friday night games good? Does that get everybody up for the game at the start of the weekend and all that?
Yeah, difficult one to say, really. Player availability hasn't been a problem, to be fair. I think, obviously, because we are the home club, I think that makes it obviously a lot easier. But, you know, everybody likes Friday night football. It's the start of the weekend. There's no other football on in the county from our perspective. It's going to be a decent night weather-wise. It's a massive cup match for Pinchbeck. It's the biggest cup match in the club's history. And to be honest with you, as a non-league purist, if you're not going to be up for that and excited for that, whether you're a supporter, a player, or a coach or a manager, then you can't be up for anything.
That's good to hear, because earlier on in the show, I was saying, you know, does the FA Vars still have the magic for all those taking part, all the players and that sort of thing? It does for me as an old school journalist, and it certainly sounds like it does for you as a manager.
Yeah, look, it's excuse me, the FA Vars and the FA Trophy are the non-league equivalents of the FA Cup, and I think not only is it important for the club financially, that obviously is a big factor. But equally, you know, it's an opportunity. It's the most realistic and best opportunity to get to Wembley. And, you know, as proven by my previous...
Gary Flynn at Newport Pagnell.
He's done there, he's been it. It's what we all dream of doing. And, you know, we're... What we're I think this is the round of 128 teams left in the competition, yep. I believe, at this stage.
Yep.
Might be less than, I think that's what's left.
And it goes down from here now, so this is everybody in now as well. This is the proper proper competition now. This is, you know, whoever's in the competition now is going to be at that final.
Absolutely. And from Pinchbeck's perspective, you know, the reality, up until this season, Pinchbeck United Football Club had never won a match in any FA competition in their history, be it whether that was in the FA Cup or the FA Vars. We broke the hoodoo of the FA Cup in the back in the balmy summer of August, beating Melton and then getting knocked out in the preliminary round to Shepshed. So that was nice to kind of get over that hurdle. And then we had the same thing in the FA Vars, and you know, we started in the first qualifying round with a tough tie against Hull Beach, who are local rivals to us. We navigated through that. We then beat another local rival in Deeping, who are a very, very well respected and traditionally a side that usually go quite far in this competition as years go by. And then we've managed to go to Sherwood Colliery 3 weeks ago, who are, you know, well above us in the league, and go from being 3-2 down to winning 4-3. So, look, it's a great opportunity for us. We've exceeded our expectations. So tomorrow night we go out there, we enjoy it, and let's see if we can get into the hat for the third round.
Yeah, and all that history, and you know, you're getting those hoodoos off your back. Home tie for you as a Step 5 club against Step 6 opposition from the same league. I guess that's probably the best sort of draw you could want.
Yes and no. Many people have said, oh, you know, we're the favourites. You know, they're the underdogs. I don't agree with that at all. You know, it's a one-off match that has to be settled on the night. Dunkirk are a good side who have got to be given respect because they're doing well in their relative league in the UCL Division 1. And, you know, we shouldn't be under any illusions that because we're a league higher, we can go and just have the God-given right to get through to the next round. I actually think it's a tougher fixture than probably playing a team in your league or your equivalent league, because they're going to come here with absolutely nothing to lose and they can leave it all out there. And, you know, whatever happens from their perspective, it's, you know, if they're not meant to beat us, if you want to look at it in league placing terms. But that's the beauty of any cup competition. It's got the hallmarks of being dumped out. So we give them respect and, you know, we will prepare in the right way.
Yeah, and you've got quite a young side as well. Is this maybe the biggest, you mentioned, is the biggest, you know, cup game probably for in the history of the club? Is it the biggest game that they might have played in as well?
Yeah, I don't think there's a doubt on that. I think that was probably the case in the first round, if truth be told. In fact, in some instances, it was probably the case in the first or the second qualifying rounds, because we do have a very young group of players. You know, the average age of our back four is 18. So, you know, yes, it will be a massive game for them. But I don't care what people say. Academy football, under-19s, under-23s football, you can dress that as you wish, because I've worked at that level in academies. There is no better grounding for a young footballer than to play in a national FA competition under lights, you know, with something to go and play for and progress in. There is no better way to develop yourself as a young footballer than those sort of occasions.
I'm wishing, you know, I still had my little applause button on the desk here. I'll give you a little round of applause there, because fully agree with you. This, I remember years gone by when a player would come up through step 7, step 6, step 5, and that's where they learnt their football. And I unfortunately see it far too often that somebody that's been in the academy system then maybe goes out on loan to get some experience at whatever level, and it's a completely different game.
Yeah, you know, last year, you know, we didn't get relegated. We were, you know, everybody will say we should have been playing Step 6 this year. You know, we were kept in the league on the points per game reprieve system across the Step 5 pyramid. So people look at us and go, you don't deserve to be in Step 5. You shouldn't have been there. you should be playing set six, etc. Yes, fair enough. We were very lucky, and, you know, I feel for clubs that didn't have that opportunity, and I'm certainly not gloating or celebrating by the way we stayed up, because the facts are it came to the last game of the season. We lost and we didn't get out the bottom two. Mm. But we've been given an opportunity, and it's that same group of young players that were with us last year that are with us this year with a couple of additions. And they have learned so much from last year. They've learned so much and developed so far because they've had the opportunity to experience the lows of non-league football and the mental scraps that are involved with a relegation battle at the age of 17, 18 years old. And, you know, that's put them in better stead. And that's why if we were having this conversation this time last year, we'd be having a very different conversation. And I know that this year these boys will know what they're expecting. They'll lap it up and they'll go out there and they'll give it 110%. I don't doubt that at all.
Yeah, and you've been at the helm now for, what, 2 years? Previously at Sporting United, Boston United under-21s and that academy side of things. We do hear much about players dropping out of the Football League and that seeing others drop down further down in the pyramid and the suggestion that that's improving non-league as a whole. Yet you're not blessed, I guess, with loads of pro clubs around you. So I'm interested to see if the impact is the same across the country. Has the standard of football in Lincolnshire now better than when you first got into coaching?
I actually think this year it's more of an even playing field. Last year, I really felt that the level of non-league football, and I can say this from step three through to step five, step six, I do feel actually that the non-league football across the board has levelled itself out a little bit more. And I think all the teams have raised their game slightly, but have done it in a way which hasn't meant that they've gone on a lot further. We've tried to blend our squad this year with a core of four or five very experienced players. You know, I'm blessed to have like Spencer Weir Daly, who was at Boston United at the same time I was. Very, very experienced forward and international player, and teaches the youngsters how to do things the right way, especially the younger strikers. I've got Avelino Vieira, who has gone a long way at the top of the game with Peterborough Sports in their early years of rising through the leagues. And he's been and played at Corby, and he's been and played at Hires as national league level. So I've got players in the books of those sorts of calibre of player that help develop and mentor the younger players. And they're invaluable to us, not only for the goals they score as well. But it's hard to say, you know. We always look to bring in a lot of academy players or players that have been released from academies because we see that we can help them and we can nurture them and develop them the right way.
And well, like there's also, so often we see them come out of the academy game and because they've been released and they've been in there, they can lose their way in football or just lose the love of the game. So you sometimes need to start again with them, don't you?
They lose the love of the game or the other element is they try and chase the highest thing that they can chase. Mm. So they will try and go on loads of trials. They'll try and get themselves into a club which is probably two or three leagues higher than where they need to be at this stage. It's very, very difficult to tell a young footballer that's been released from an academy, come and play step five football, have a good season, have a good 18 months under your belt, and earn the right to go through the levels. Because if you do well, you will get picked up. If you do well, you'll end up at step four, step three, step two, and that's how it begins. And it's very hard to tell a footballer that's probably been at a football league academy that you need to drop to what they see as a very low level to get yourself back up and then work your way back up. And I think that's just the education of life, really. And, you know, that's what we try and pride ourselves on, that we get those players, we develop them, we nurture them. We want them to do well for us, of course. But if the right opportunity comes up for that player, we'll not stand in their way. We will help them. We will guide them. And we will give them the right advice for them to progress. And if we do well off the back of that, then fantastic.
I love that phrase, the education of life. It something I saw on your social media that this week reminded me of a conversation I had years back with Martin Allen when he was a manager. And he got these young players just out cleaning the terraces. And I saw on social media this week, your young players are being pinched back through and through, helping out with a bit of preparation, some DIY in the VIP hospitality area you're about to open.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're trying to be a self-sufficient club and raise our own revenue and our own funds to become, you know, a club which can stand on its own 2 feet, because ultimately we are a village club, all said and done, under the shadow of bigger clubs that are around us. And yeah, you know, we said to the boys last night, after a grueling few weeks of, you know, Saturday, Wednesday games for the last 6 or 7 weeks, look, we're going to do a bit of a rehab session. We're going to do a bit of a cool down session. We're going to look at some intelligence we've got on our opponent for tomorrow night. We're going to do a bit of theory work on the tactics board. And then we're going to roll our sleeves up and do an hour and a half pitching in and helping out and getting it ready. And not a single player moaned. Not a single player questioned it. Everybody said, we'll be there. What time do you want us? And that's the mentality we have. We all pitch in together because they see what we're all trying to do behind the scenes. And that's their little way of saying, well, you know, you're doing this for us and we're in it for you. So, you know, we can't ask any more than that.
Yeah, it's a great philosophy to have. You know, get that loyalty built into them as well and make them, you know, become more than just players for the club. Mid-table this season, I guess, at the moment, so far, it's a very competitive division, isn't it? United Counties in both those Premier divisions are just so competitive these last couple of seasons. Is promotion on the horizon, or is the FA Vars run maybe a bit more realistic?
Promotion's not on the horizon. That's unrealistic to where we're at the minute, you know. I think we were favourites to get relegated this year because of our position last year. We haven't gone out and made wholesale changes. We've stuck with the players that we believe in. And we knew with time and with nurturing and patience, they would start to come good. And, you know, for me, we're in two quarterfinals of two cup competitions, the County Cup and the Hinchinbrook Cup as well. We're obviously in the second round of the Vars. We're sat in 14th in the league at the minute. And, you know, for me, yeah, I'd like us to target a final of a competition. I'm not going to say which one, and I'm not going to sit here and be overly ambitious and say that'll be the FA Vars, but who knows. But it would be nice to get to a final of a competition. And if we finished mid-table, from where we were last year, which was technically relegated, I think that's a fantastic achievement for a club like Pinchbeck.
Yeah, and what about a club like Pinchbeck? As you mentioned, you really are sort of one of the village sides, as people often refer to. Can Pinchbeck go further up the pyramid? And if not, what sort of support would you like to see available from the FA and other agencies to help your club and the people involved, not only to survive, but also to thrive?
Yeah, you know, I do think, you know, I know everybody goes on about the fact that, you know, we need to draw down funding from Premier League clubs and from this and from that and from the other. Yeah, of course we do. There's no doubt about whatsoever. I think it would be nice to see a little bit more support for smaller clubs at steps, well, any of the pyramid, really. But I think step 5 and step 6 and even step 7, which is classified as, you know, amateur football as its classification, it would be nice to see a little bit more support for those clubs who get smaller attendances, you know, that have to live day to day, that have to, you know, literally live hand to mouth. I'm not saying we need to get vast amounts of money to start throwing around and abusing. But, you know, the running costs of any football club, whether it's down the roads under 13's team or whether it's us or whether it's a National League side, you know, the costs are continuing to rise, continuing to mount up. And, you know, it's a never-ending battle to make sure that we are in a position that we can, you know, keep our head above water and survive and look at ways of developing all the time. So, yeah, it would be nice to see a little bit more support. I don't know whether that necessarily has to necessarily be financially, because we're not a charity. We don't need money throwing at us because they feel sorry for us. But do you know what? It'd be nice to see bigger clubs say, do you know what? They're trying to do things the right way and we want to support them. And in return, if we can help them either develop their younger players in the senior men's game or they get the opportunity to look at one of our progressing players to give them a chance at the higher level. That sort of partnership, I think, for me, is something that could work really well to almost partner up with one of the bigger clubs and use it as a stepway and a pathway to develop both ways. It can only help both clubs in the long run.
Yeah, you see it work abroad, don't you? Those sort of partnership clubs, and it's always been frowned upon in this country, regulation there as well. But you almost think there's such a gap between the different levels that it would surely help close that gap and at least create or stop the top level going too far away from the rest of us that are enjoying real football at this level. So Friday night kickoff, win, lose, or draw. What are you going to do Saturday?
I think I've got my little one's birthday party to go to, so that'll be a little bit different. And I'm going to try and see if I can shoehorn in going and watching a game in the UCL Prem North as well. So yes, I've got football Saturday morning. My little one plays as well, so he's got his job to do Saturday morning and go and get a positive result in what he does and. Yeah, you know, try and balance up the family time with obviously the full time nature of a part time football club, so to speak.
Spoken like a true non league fan as well as a non league manager, Lewis Thurgood. Best of luck at the weekend in the FA Fars. Best of luck for Pinchbeck for the rest of the season, and thank you for joining us on the Non League Football Show.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. It's Executive Editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Tim. How are you?
Good. It's another busy week. Not been such a busy week on your news front, but, I mean, the FA Cup, really, that's got to be the main talking point this weekend. We had last weekend's games, some big cup sets, and then, of course, the second round draw as well. But I think you were out and about as well, watching some game.
Yeah, I was. I was at the Bracknell Ipswich game on Monday night. A nice one for me, very local to me, and also being an Ipswich fan, it was it had sort of double the meaning as well. So it was nice to get out and sort of get amongst it. It was a great occasion for the club, and you know, I think. The phrase used by the Bracknell guys was that Ipswich may have won the tie, but Bracknell were the real winners on the night, and they were. It was a tremendous occasion for them, and one they'll never forget.
Yeah, some great FA Cup headlines. I was talking with Matt Bacot last week about the potential headache that you would have had on Saturday evening to choose the who was going on the front page of the non-league paper last week, because there were some great cup sets, but there's also potential still in the replays as well from that first round.
Yeah, it's that usual it's that usual meeting we have on an FA Cup day. When there's a few shocks in the air, and I think we tallied up there were five non-league teams who beat football league clubs, and rather than choose one or the other, we decided to use them all to put them all on, because it was impossible to decipher what the biggest achievement was. They were all fantastic achievements from each individual perspective, and it was nice to recognise them as such in that way, and bit of a bumper paper last week. It was thoroughly enjoyable doing it, and it was great. Sort of, even though it's a bit frustrating sometimes not being able to get to games on a Saturday, it's equally nice to see the scores sort of pop up, and all of a sudden your plans change with every goal. It gives us a real buzz in the office to do that, and Saturday was a good, if not very long day.
Yeah, and you, as you said, the televised game on Monday would have been great for non-league as well, and sort of showing that the magic of non-league to those that maybe don't get down to their local non-league club. And then, Tuesday night we've also got the replay derby against Torquay United being televised on it's a BBC 3. I think non-league's could probably been on almost every channel on the Sky Box this year possible, wasn't it? So we've got that replay, and then we've got going into the second round we've got some non-league ties as well, getting the TV coverage that it deserves. The opening game there, Kingsling Town, Stevenage. Anybody with any history, knowledge of non-league, that's a proper mouth-watering tie, that one, isn't it, to open up the TV coverage for the second round of the FA Cup?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, Kings Lynn have sort of gone under the radar a little bit this week, we felt. So, I mean, you know, for them to get a great tie like that was tremendous. We spoke to their captain, Josh Coulson, of course, who's been there, done that, and he was there to tell us sort of just how well they played and just how well things are clicking down there for Tom Rudington's team, and they're going very well, and they got a plum draw in Steve Evans's Stevenage. Steve Evans is no stranger to cup shocks and cup stories himself. So that'll be a really interesting one, and sort of well worthy of the telly. That for me was probably the standout tie. There was a nice one. Ebbsfleet Fleetwood, thought was quite a nice one as well. Ebbsfleet, of course, top of National League South. We've got the South and the North leaders, both at home against Football League opposition, which is really good. And I think there could be a few eyes on that one. And of course, Buxton, who played the all non-league game against Merth. I come through that. And they got Ipswich Town away, so you know, what an incentive that is for them to go down to Portman Road and you know, hopefully play in front of 20,000 plus fans. And you know, what a day out that'll be for them.
It'll be a proper day out as well for those Buxton fans, because I think that's earlier on today that was announced and confirmed as one of the ties that's been selected for overseas broadcast. So that means that I think that Ipswich Buxton game is now going to kick off on the Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. So that makes it for a very long day for Buxton fans.
Yeah, there's a couple as well. There's I think Bournemouth have as well. Bournemouth's game against Bristol Rovers has also been moved to the Sunday, which it's pretty good for the fans. For us, selfishly, at the non-league paper, it's not too great with the paper coming out on Sunday. We're losing Saturday games all the time, so a little bit frustrating for us. It's not about us. It's about the football clubs and the fans, and a nice Sunday day out. I think we'll certainly be enjoyed by all.
Yeah, and don't get me started on the embargo on a Saturday afternoon or anything like that as well. That's another debate for the social media channels, maybe. What was good to see? Yeah, while we're on the TV subject, the obviously Aberchurch had such a great result, and then getting drawn away at Forest Green Rovers, and you did fear that maybe they might miss out on the TV again, but it was great to see that game is going to be live on the BBC, so that they get their moment in the spotlight. But that is a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock on the telly.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's obviously because of the World Cup, but this, you know, they can show 3 o'clock Saturdays, which is great for us, but of course, first and foremost, and good for those Aberchurch fans who deserve another crack. It wasn't the best draw, I don't think they could have hoped for. But having said that, they went to Cheltenham and won, so why can't they go to Forest Green and give them a game as well? So it'd be another big day out for those fans, and hopefully not too far for them as well, distance wise. So just on the M5 there. So I think they'll be licking their lips at that prospect. And as I say, in front of the TV cameras as well on a Saturday afternoon, which is what they're used to. It worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah, certainly another bumper weekend coming up. But before all that, we've got the FA Vars this weekend. You know, we've spoken to managers already this week. The FA Vars. Yeah, one question I asked the sort of guest this week. Has it still got the magic? You know, we are now, it's a step five, step six only competition. You've got, you know, maybe some older players, maybe some younger players combined with those squads. But certainly for me, it's still got the magic. What about for you, John? Is the FA VAR still a magical competition?
Yeah, pretty much so. I think certainly the longer it goes on, the more magical it becomes. You know, the more people start to believe. This is probably about a stage now where I think this is the first stage where the holders come in, Newport Pagnell Town, and some of the step five big guns are coming in this round. So from here, this is the business end. This is where it gets interesting, and there's some really top ties. And I mean, you talk about the magic of the VARs. There's literally nothing. There's nothing like it when you get to quarter final stages, for example, and all of a sudden these teams look at, wow, you know, we're two matches away from Wembley, and you only have to go to Wembley to experience that and see just what it means to the teams playing at Wembley. Newport against Littlehampton was a prime example. This was an occasion that those players will never experience again, and have dreamt about their whole lives. And you know, it was just a fantastic occasion, as it always is. And those players will be starting to believe, but maybe it's a little bit too early in the competition to get too carried away just yet, because there's a lot of very good sides in there, and it's always intriguing to see a leader of one league being pitted against a leader of another. There's some big ties in there to be had. Big clubs, you know, it'd be interesting to see how the likes of Bury, AFC, and FC St Albans, Jersey Bulls are still in there as well. They'll be interested to see how they get on. So there's plenty of action still to be had from the FA VARs, and I think sort of from here, this is where it gets exciting.
Yeah, with so much talk about the FA Cup, it's probably good that it was quite a quiet week this week on the managerial merry-go-round. For once, that wasn't the focus of attention. It seems to go in waves, and the wave this week seems to be lots of long-standing managers at lower levels waving goodbye to the clubs that they've served so well. I'm thinking people that I've seen leaving their clubs. Paul Morris at Bashley, Jason Marr at Saffron Walden Town, the Consett duo, Andy Coyle and Richie Hill, all handing in their notice at clubs where they'd almost become part of the furniture. Do you think it's just, is that part of the economic climate maybe, or just the time of year, or is it just one of those things that happen in football at this stage of the season?
I really don't know. It's a funny one how they all seem to step down around about the same time. I don't know. It's not a busy part of the season. Well, it's a busy part of the season, but it's not an intense part of the season as it would be for the last couple of months or so. Maybe it is a financial thing. Just coming up to Christmas, maybe they're looking at sort of spending more time with their families, because even though it's step five, the time and the effort going into running these clubs is huge. And you know, these managers don't just run training sessions twice a week and a game on a Saturday. They're 7 days a week. Recruiting players, coaching, paperwork. It's never ending. And any manager who's been at one club for a lengthy period of time, I take my hat off to. You know, it's a tough gig. So these guys, for whatever reason, they decided to step down. They deserve it, and hope they can put their feet up and recruit and maybe come back elsewhere.
Yeah, or in a different capacity of those clubs, I guess. One manager we didn't mention with Matt Badcock, because I think he came in on Friday last week. Yeah, good to see Ian Selly back in the game, taking over at Hartley Whitney last weekend, or for the last weekend's game. You know, we. didn't really get the success that he wanted. And I know he's quite frustrated at the end of his time at Chertsey Town. And it's good to see him get back in at this level of the game.
Yeah, great appointment by Hartley, and nice to see Ian back in the game. Hartley, another local club to me, so one that I know very well. I know Anthony Milliwick and the boys would have been probably expecting Luke Tufts to roll up. I know he was interim manager for a couple of games, but they've obviously gone with Ian Selly for one reason or another, and it certainly proved a popular appointment. They had a game against Hanwell on Saturday. It was Ian's first game, and by all accounts, they played very well. And the new manager bounce suited them, and the fans went away happy. Ian Selly, obviously, you don't need to talk about his pedigree, having played for Arsenal and a few other clubs. It's not quite happened for him yet, as a manager. We mentioned Chertsey Town. He had another very small short stint at Sandhurst Town, but hopefully he can really get his feet under the carpet here at Hartley Whitney and get his teeth into something, because he's clearly someone that the players respect. Obviously a very good coach as well. Hopefully he can enjoy some success.
Yeah, and talking about success, I suppose we should talk about the National League. No games last weekend due to the FA Cup action. I said to Matt Backhart last week that it would make the midweek even more exciting, and so it did. Wrexham, top of the National League.
Yeah, there, back on top. Excellent win last night at Scunthorpe. They haven't been going away, have they? Even though Notts County have been firing on all cylinders, Wrexham have stayed on their coattails, and now they've leapfrogged them at the top. And Notts County obviously had a very tricky game at Southend, which finished in a very entertaining, so I understand, 2-2 draw. That's Wrexham on top, and there's certainly some. There's certainly some clubs that are impressing at the moment, and again aren't going away at the top. I'm thinking of Woking. You know, Woking to go to Bromley and win 2-0 to go up to fourth. I mean, what an achievement that is for Darren Sile and his team. So that's they've done extremely well, and there were some good games on Tuesday night. It was Tuesday and Wednesday night. It was a full calendar. And it really sort of whets the appetite again for another weekend of action this weekend.
Yeah, you mentioned Woking and Darren Sile there. I think they've got another tough one this weekend. I had it in my sights there. Yeah, away at Boreham Woods. So, you know, they are playing sides up and around those playoff zones as well and getting the results and sort of sticking around there. But you do look at that table, you mentioned about, Wrexham leapfrogging County to go top. But I know it's very early days, but Wrexham and Notts County seem to be in a dogfight and creating a little bit of a gap between them and the chasers, including Chesterfield.
That's right. You do get the impression that... The top two, Wrexham and Notts County, are in the ascendancy at the moment. They're both scoring goals for fun, and they're obviously in a very good place at the moment. Chesterfield, although they're sort of grinding out results, you just feel that maybe they're a little bit behind those two. But as I say, they are holding in there. Had an excellent FA Cup win at the weekend as well. So they're grinding out results and sticking by it, but you just get a feeling that Wrexham and Notts County are going to be the two that are going to push this title all the way, with Chesterfield not far behind, and as I say, a few teams like Southend who are going great guns, Woking who have been a surprise package, and Bournemouth always there or thereabouts as well, aren't they? Solihull, who had a bit of a surprise home defeat to FC Halifax Town, but I expect them to bounce back as well. So those clubs are always in there or thereabouts, but you can't really look further than the further than the top two, I don't think, at this stage.
Yeah, well, you say those top two. We're not even halfway through, and yeah, Wrexham scored 50 goals. Notts County scored 47. I think they're only conceding a goal a game or less than a goal a game as well. It really is intriguing. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out at the end of the season. It is one of those divisions, though, as you mentioned. With FC Halifax Town getting the result midweek, that anybody can beat anybody on their day, and that could affect the final table standings. But looking further down, you also mentioned Ebbsfleet United earlier on, top of the National South. We've got to mention it. Their unbeaten run now, I think, is 16 league games at the top there. Similarly, at step three in the Southern Premier South, you've got Truro City trying to mimic them on a 14-game run now. It's... Once you're in the slot, sometimes as a club, it's almost more difficult to lose than it is to win.
Yes, it is. You're kind of in the zone, aren't you? And those teams you mentioned are in the zone. Absolutely, have been magnificent all season under Dennis Goodrib. They just keep going on and on, don't they? And they're going to be very, very difficult to catch. Although Dartford are on a very good run themselves at the moment. I think they're 11 wins from 12 under Alan Dowson now, but they've managed to catch them up at the top, and they're giving it a good go as well. And Truro City, isn't it great to see Truro City back? They've been blighted with off the field issues, haven't they? And it'll be lovely to see them back in step two, but albeit there'll be a few clubs who won't be looking forward to the trip down to Cornwall next year, as I'm sure you know with Hayes. Well,
at the moment when they're playing in Plymouth, the trip doesn't seem so far away. But I'm not sure whether that ground share is going to continue next season. Even if it can, if they go up to the next level, again, not entirely sure of all the final details and that. But yeah, it's not the sort of game that you want postponed on a Saturday.
No, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I have noticed that this year actually, there's been quite a few lengthy midweek games. My attention sort of drew to York City this week, who had a Tuesday night all the way down to Dagenham, which has sort of become the norm bit for National League midweek fixtures, which is a shame because it was something that the league were aware of. You know, it must be impossible to arrange a fixtures calendar without upsetting someone along the way. But you've got to take your hats off to these clubs who they're all cash strapped. You know, making trips like that on a Tuesday night where it's lashing a rain and cold, and you know, not many fans can. Can make the trip with them, but those fans who can, I mean, what loyalty and commitment is that? That's fantastic. But a Tuesday night trip down to Truro, as when they do they sort themselves out, will be not one for the faint-hearted, I don't think.
No, and again, you mentioned that. That was something that I noted during the week. You know, there can't be too many trains that you could have got from Southend back to Nottingham for Notts County supporters.
Dover to Truro is not the not the one, not the trip you want, is it?
There was one sad piece of news this week: the bad head injury suffered by Bath City's Alex Fletcher when he collided with a pitch perimeter. The game there was abandoned, and the next couple of Bath games have been postponed as the team get to grips with what's happened, what they witnessed, etc. Alex had to undergo emergency neurosurgery, and we do wish him, his friends, and family all the very best. A tragic accident that puts, I mean, all these league standings, all these cup ties, and everything else into perspective.
Yeah, it certainly does. No one wants to see anything like that. And you think, you know, is it something that could happen anywhere? A collision with an advertising board. You see it all the time, don't you? Sort of players, battling to the court, or trying to get balls out for throw-ins or something, and some of these advertising boards are very close to the touchline. But this obviously had tragic consequences. But what's been extremely emotional, really, is the response from the football community. I saw a picture that West Ham or their game in midweek, they put a big thing on their big screen wishing Alex all the very best, and that's great, you know, for a big club like West Ham to be able to acknowledge a player playing in National League South like that is tremendous, and that'll bring huge comfort hopefully to him and his family. But no, it's not something we like to see, but our best wishes really from non-league paper go to Alex's family and everyone at Bath City, because it's a tragic situation, and fingers crossed he can make a recovery.
Yeah. So I guess lots of FA Cup reaction this weekend. I'd imagine plenty of FA VARs in there too in the non-league paper. But what else can we expect to read in this weekend's edition?
Plenty of FA Cup reaction. I've got a nice. I've been talking about my. Our Bracknell experience, and that will go in. We've obviously got news on Alex as well. FA VARs, as you mentioned. We've got a few bits. Matt Badcock is speaking to Newport Pagnell Town, who kick off their VARs defence on Sunday, and we've got loads of. Lots of FA Cup reaction. I spoke to Spencer Day of Farnborough after they beat Sutton and consequently drawn away at Wrexham to Spencer's dismay. But that's quite a tricky tie for them. So he's looking forward to that in inverted commas. And we've got plenty in all the news. Obviously, you're the managerial departures and. Plenty of upbeat stories from all across the pyramid, as always.
Well, as ever, we look forward to picking up a copy of the non-league paper or looking at the digital version on Sunday morning. Thanks as ever for your help, John. Have a great weekend.
No problem. Thank you.
And that is it once again for this week. Thanks as ever to all of my guests. Good luck to all those involved in the FA VARs this weekend. After this round, it really does begin to take shape as the competition has no more clubs entering. It's now those that are in it from this stage can make their own luck and progress to that Wembley final. Finally, a big thank you once again to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can tell your friends, share the pod, every little helps. And of course, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.